This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and his guest by phone at 522-WTIC. Email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
That's Dennis Halnon, one of the employee owners of Tab. He comes and helps me out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. And I was just thinking about back to Stefan talking about Getty. Giddy. My grandmother was from Estonia, so I would have been called Itik. Thankfully, that didn't stick. We're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. 860-522-9842 is the number, and we'll do our best to help you out. Let's go right to your calls, because John's been on the phone there for the longest here, out there in Avon. What's going on, John?
Hey. You guys have helped me out a lot with the OpenDNS.
Oh, great.
And although it wouldn't, I couldn't get it to work on whatever the Frontier's
their device router. Their firewall. Okay.
So anyway, I'm surprised that they OpenDNS. You can email them with your problems, and they were really quite responsive in getting back to me.
Mm-hmm. Whoa,
yeah, that's good.
All right,
and making it work, and yet it ultimately they're telling me it doesn't work because IPv6.
Right.
And DNS only works on IPv4.
No, that's not true.
No, it OpenDNS does have IPv6 addresses too.
Right.
Well, that's interesting, because the last email I got was that at this time, I'm reading it to you.
I believe you.
At this time, IPv6 is not supported by OpenDNS customers.
Well, I don't know why they would say that, because there's a whole IPv6 config.
Yeah. Huh.
So this is the issue of training.
It says a little more. It says, while IPv6 resolution will work, content filtering will not.
Mm. Oh.
That could be true.
Okay.
I'm a little disappointed.
Operating systems give precedence to IPv6 over IPv4 when available. So when IPv6 is enabled in an OpenDNS deployment, it will result in customer not receiving the blocks that they have configured.
All right. Well, that's not good. Now, I always understood that as I was configuring it, it would be offering the blocks. Now, you can test that. You can configure the IPv6 configuration, turn off your IPv4 TCP/IP, and then see if it works. Because I don't believe that. IPv6 should be filtered. We've talked about IPv6 now for probably half a decade.
Yeah.
And OpenDNS in that context. So you don't need IPv6.
It does, the settings, I don't know how familiar you are with the dashboard OpenDNS. It's like got a high, a moderate, and a low setting.
Yeah, yeah.
When it's on the high setting, just to test it, it will block Instagram and YouTube and things like that.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
But other things, it won't.
Mm.
And just for example, I don't really know how to test it going to a questionable website, so I just type in playboy.com. And
you're only going for the articles anyways.
Right. But it wouldn't block that.
Right. So,
which is weird, and that's why the email back and forth, they ultimately said it won't work with IPv6.
Well, that stinks, and I'm really disappointed to hear that.
Yeah.
I can't believe I'm hearing it from a caller.
Yeah.
So, and you're trying to do this for you're trying to protect your family, you're trying to protect, you know, the folks in
right.
within your network. So, the easy solution is to turn off IPv6 on that firewall. Don't let it hand out IPv6 IPs. You do not have to let it do that. So, in a firewall, you have a DHCP server. That device hands out IP addresses, so you can actually tell it to not hand out any IPv6 IPs, and guess what? Problem solved. Now you're only going to get IPv4 translations.
They did suggest that.
Good.
But they didn't tell me what what the downside to doing that would be. And I'm like, well, I don't know. Do I want to do that? That's an old version.
The only downside is merely theoretical. If there is a website or a web server somewhere in the world that only exists with an IPv6 address,
right,
you won't be able to reach it. I don't know of any of those.
No, we don't either.
Maybe dark web operations are taking place there, but
right.
that isn't anything you want to go to anyway. So you're not going to miss anything.
Yeah. So.
Okay. So you'd say it would be fine to switch it, make that switch, because they did give me instructions how to do that.
Good.
And that's the last I heard from them. So
now this
I was amazed that you don't pay for OpenDNS, and they're really quite responsive in emailing me back and forth.
Yeah, well, it's because there's a commercial side of the equation that is paid for. So
and that's what's kind of funding the help that you're getting. Yeah,
gotcha. Right.
And you are participating in the network itself as far as finding malicious sites, right?
Yeah.
And you're part of the whole network, so. Yeah, turn off the IPv6, and that'll protect your equipment, and then you can have everything work. I'm shocked that they are not able to filter on IPv6. I don't understand that. I need to do some research on that. That doesn't make any sense to me. But if they're saying that's the case, yikes.
And it sounds like you tested it, so yeah.
Yeah. But that'll fix it for you.
Thanks, guys.
All right, John. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, you gave us some information we didn't have before, so we appreciate it.
And we're going to look into it. That's disappointing considering IPv6 has been around for so long, which also makes me nervous about the commercial side. Right. Cause if they can't do it on the free side, what's so hard about it doing it on the free side? Right.
Yeah. Things that make you go,
just when you think you have the right seat belt, you're flying through the windshield, you're asking yourself, how did that happen? No? All right, let's continue on here. Actually, real quick though, I was looking up the Connecticut luxury tax. So it's interesting, right? So again, our legislature decided to tax rotisserie chickens, right, at almost a luxury tax level of 7.35%. And this is a few years ago before Bidenomics really kicked in. And now here we are, and we're looking at all these expenses. So now you're looking at expensive chickens, 30% more expensive chickens. Now, when the Connecticut luxury tax kicks in, it kicks in if you buy a $50,000 vehicle or up, right? Or you buy jewelry of over $5,000. And that luxury tax is 7.75. So the Connecticut legislature thinks your rotisserie chicken is almost a luxury that you should be, you know, I don't know what it is. Is it a let them eat cake moment? But the point is, it's nuts around here. I mean, what are we doing? How can you do that to people in prepared foods with a clear conscience? And again, we have a Salvation Army out there trying to help folks because they're in need, and it's because of things like that.
Yeah.
But the oddity is, if you buy an $80,000 electric vehicle, you'll get a huge rebate back from us in the form of a subsidy that the rest of us are giving you because it's coming out of our tax dollars, not coming out of the clear blue sky. So you're going to pay the higher tax rate on it, but the rest of us are making sure you can drive that car. It's just crazy. I don't know. What are we doing here? I digress. Well, I'll get back to your calls here. Let's go to Rick in Bloomfield. I mean, there's so much need out there, and it's because we cause it. What's going on, Rick?
Hey, good morning.
Morning.
I called you a few weeks ago because I was having trouble with my Wi-Fi.
Uh-oh.
Should we from my router up to my laptop.
All right. Should we send you to the complaint department? Did we screw something up?
No, actually, I wound up buying a plug-in device that receives the Wi-Fi.
Oh, okay. So we thought your internal radio was broken, and you used a thumb, like a USB Wi-Fi adapter.
Yeah.
Yeah, I bought the adapter because I didn't want to pay the technicians to pull apart my computer.
I don't blame you.
Oh, definitely you don't blame me for that.
Yeah, so anyways, it worked out really well, and you guys helped me out. I'm not very knowledgeable when it comes to computers.
Oh, so you're calling to say it worked?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it sure did.
Well, we'd like to hear that.
Yeah, I basically only do my banking on there, and it's working fine.
I'm glad to hear it.
$50 took care of it.
Sounds good. Glad we could be of service. So what's your password to your bank account?
I don't remember. It's on an index card.
There you go.
Right.
There you go.
That's the right answer.
Sounds good, Rick. Yep. Well, thanks for checking in with us.
Yeah, you guys take care and God bless.
Yep, you too.
Yep, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, that's nice to hear. You never know, right? Yeah. They're going to call in and say, you guys broke my stuff, or you...
True.
We always wonder if we did anything. Let's go to Nancy in Massachusetts while we're at it. What's going on, Nancy?
Hi. Speaking of banks, I'm actually calling about a question about my bank, like with banks as well. So sometimes with the banks, they send you a password. And so I'm always kind of concerned that somehow, because they ask then after that, they say, oh, should we just recognize this computer and therefore you don't have to use the password again?
Right.
Well, I want to use the password always. And so that's what I'm always concerned that somebody might intercept the password from breaking into my computer and therefore, like, what am I supposed to do? And so I've also used like Authy and Google Authenticator.
Yeah.
But also, even with that, sometimes with the financial things, they might have a choice like that, or they're looking for a YubiKey part of thing.
Yep.
And so YubiKey seems a little bit intimidating for me, even though I've gone through Authy and made it through Google Authenticator. Okay.
Yeah.
But I'm wondering, is there any type of like UB type key without having to spend the money for UB? It's a little expensive for that. I mean, if that's what I have to do, I'll do it. But
well, I'll tell you, it's the most secure approach to getting on a system is having a physical key like that. Google has one.
Yeah,
and then,
I understand.
Yeah. And it's don't be intimidated. All you're doing is having it in your computer and touching it. Which means the computer.
Well, no, but really, it's the setting up. It's not the using that I just went into.
Yeah.
Maybe it's the setting up all the things of all the different things with the. I assume maybe it's like the Authy one. You show the you get up the QR and then you kind of flash it from the cell phone or whatever.
Correct.
But I just like with I didn't even know like I don't even know like I have a Pixel 4.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't even know if I can use like that kind of thing for a UB type of phone for that. I don't even know if there's anything on there for that kind of thing. Or like if I'm going to use it on my computer, most likely I would be using banking stuff through my computer, not my my phone.
Right.
And so I'm just kind of concerned about like, do I have to another one that I looked at for a UB ish kind of thing. They had a C kind of connection versus like one of those bigger. Maybe
USB or USB C, right?
And I don't even know like, hey, should I only do I need something like that? And so because the UB I don't think has that, or I'm so confused about UB 5C. It's like really
it's okay.
Like, what should I order? Which one's best?
No, I hear you. So your questions are valid, and the problem is our industry has not made it. So the industry has made using computers so simple that now we have to start putting in these securities, and this is what you get.
And then the security itself is complex, and it becomes a hurdle.
So we're going to get
And again, I'm fearful that somebody else will break in, you know, like, because when they say, oh, send the passwords from the bank, and I'm like, I don't want a password from them. I want to be creating like having somebody else create one that you can't get into.
Well, when you make an association, Nancy, between your bank and maybe a financial institution, they actually have to do their ACH transmissions through that password approved, and you have to actually put your password in.
Oh, I understand.
Yeah.
But still, you know, I would like to have something more secure.
I know. So can we put you on hold and talk about this after the break? Because I think Kevin's giving me the
eye. Absolutely. You're going to ruminate about it. Maybe it was a good question.
Every question we get is a good question, Nancy.
Yeah.
So hang on one moment. We're going to put you on hold, and we'll get back to you, and we'll get to your calls too. Feel free to get online 860-522-9842. We'll be right back.
Love to eat turkey. Love to eat turkey.
Man, if I only knew turkey, that's all it would take to be a multi-bazillionaire. Love to eat turkey. Not that I could do it. All right, we're going to get back here with Nancy, who's trying to secure her stuff. You there, Nance?
Yes, I am.
All right. So it's kind of...
I really need like a second FA for dummies.
Well, the problem is there is no homogeneous approach to all your services.
Yeah, that's the thing.
And every service, like you commented, hey, you know, I don't want this thing to remember my password, or I don't want this thing to remember that I don't want to use 2FA. It happens all the time. Even though you click off, you know, please stop asking me, they keep asking you.
Yeah.
Well, no, but I actually do want them to ask me. I'm fearful that like somebody will into the computer and then get the stuff. Oh,
yeah,
I understand. I understand.
Yeah, that's the part they ask you. I agree with you. They want to make sure that computer is secure. So there is no 2FA for dummies. Well, there probably is a book 2FA for dummies, but the point is each service that's out there is going to have a different approach.
I would read it.
Yeah.
Even when I'm on YouTube, the only thing they show is UB. That's it. They never show anything like any kind of product on Amazon or anything. Here's how you set it up.
Well, it's because it's different for every resource you're going to work with.
Okay.
Like even this morning when I came in, my wife dropped me off with my car. And guess what's on my car? My keychain. My YubiKey.
Yeah.
So I couldn't get into my laptop because my wife's got the key. Now, of course, I'm a geek and I was able to figure out how I could do it. And I did. I didn't defeat anything. I was able to use it.
Well, what do you use, or what do you use a tab? Maybe that would make a decision for me to like, hey, I go at least with you guys.
Well, we recommend YubiKey. We recommend YubiKeys.
More complicated.
No. We recommend YubiKeys. We recommend apps. We recommend authenticator apps. These are apps that are available through Google and Microsoft as another. They're authenticator.
Yeah, I use both of those, Authy and Google. But you know, for some of the like for Chase example. The only choice I have is to use something like a UB-ish kind of thing.
Right. You're going to have to consider those different services and the methods that they want you to connect. And unfortunately, there is no one size fits all. I would think eventually we're going to get to the keys pretty much universally, or it'll be completely passwordless. The idea is, as far as your question.
Yeah, that's what I heard as well, that passwords are passé, maybe.
Right, because your device is the thing that they are confirming. You're tapping that with your thumbprint saying, I'm Nancy, and it doesn't need to have the password. So I think keys are the way to go, and the better you get at configuring keys. Now, here's the thing. Don't lose your key.
Mm. Right. And I always have to purchase two, because if you lose the first one, you always have to keep the other one in another place, right?
There's that, but there's also recovery codes you can use, which are ridiculously long.
Oh, yeah, recovery codes. More involved.
Correct.
That Offy has that kind of thing as well. So, like, it's really, like you said, it's so complicated. It's a bigger problem than, you know, like buying a computer.
It is, but the benefit of having that key is you'll never be tricked, because even if you get tricked into sending that 2FA code, a lot of people get tricked into sending it. There's a lot of scams that are out there that'll actually trick them.
Believe me. You know, I had a real incident for identity theft. That's why I'm so cautious.
Right.
Thank goodness nothing really like happened, but you know, it's scary.
It is scary.
And that's why I was like, hey, you know, is there a second FA for dummies? But I guess there's not that. But I just kind of muddle through and try to figure it out. But at least I know that I'm not like totally stupid.
You're not. You're doing the right things.
I'm not trying to figure it out.
Yeah, you can look at YubiKey, or you can look at, there's a Titan key from Google.
Titan key.
Yeah.
Oh,
that'll work. And again, when you're with your phone, I haven't had a lot of success with the keys there. You can use near field communication where the key and the phone is in proximity. You can also plug in the key into the USB-C of your phone and tap it. Some of that seems to be okay. Some of it's not working. That I've had mixed results with that.
Maybe with that, I could just keep to the computer on financial kind of stuff. But real, like, you know, that's what I was thinking. At least I use something to plug in. But that's okay. But it's just like, again, I was so totally confused about like which one, or you know, they only work for some types, or that, oh, well, even when you purchase like UB, they said, oh, but we don't recognize, or we can't work with Bippity Boppity Boo service or whatever bank XYZ. And so,
right.
Like, what are you supposed to do? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. There's lots of.
I've expressed my confusion enough.
You have, and you're not alone. And I wish I could just say buy this and it works for everything, but all these companies offer different solutions. So,
yeah.
I would tell
again,
you the keys
at least
is
I know
more
I'm
secure.
Not nuts and I'm not like stupid. So,
you're not nuts or stupid at all. Thanks for calling in, Nance.
All right, I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
And I hope that's going to be a link. And not entitled, maybe not, Nancy is not a stupid person.
Not
but
at
yet,
all.
Maybe looking like a second FA kind of questions or something like that. Thank
well,
you.
You're
I
welcome.
It.
All right, we'll put some links out there for you. Nancy is not alone.
No, you're not.
It's very complicated.
Yeah, and it's kind of not fair to you guys. I mean, we
it's not fair to me either.
We tell you to secure your stuff, and then you know it's a hodgepodge and
it's a
lot of dancing around in circles to get it to work.
Right? You're like, which app do I use for my authenticator? Which one's this one? Which one's that one? It gets confusing. We're gonna be here till 11 o'clock. Stick around. Get online. We'll be right back.
Offer a prayer of thanksgiving for blessings we've known through the years.
And we are back.
Join hands and
I hope you're ready for Turkey Day. I know I'm not. I got a lot of work to do. Our kitchen was just ripped up recently.
Oh, yeah, you've got it a lot worse.
But we'll be fine. We'll be fine. We're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Get to your calls. We posted a link out there for Nancy.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 40% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale Last Chance right now and save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 40% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hopefully it helps her understand how to use keys, or how, based on if you heard that conversation, what you should be doing with two-factor authentication. Let's go to Joe next out there in Windsor. What's happening, Joe? Ah, Joe, you there? Ah!
Did we lose him?
Yeah, it wasn't me. So Joe's gone. I guess we'll have to go to the next caller when they come online, but Joe, call back. I didn't drop you.
Yeah, I swear he wasn't touching anything.
No. We'll try to help you out. While we're waiting, you had an article, Dennis, you want to talk about with electric vehicle issues.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's a electric vehicle car company, Rivian.
Yep.
They recently put out an update to their infotainment systems that are in the car.
Yeah, right.
Bricked them.
So you can't listen to the radio or podcast.
Can't listen to the radio or anything, and it looks like the solution is to rip the module out and put a new one in.
Ooh, that's a serious brick. When we say brick, it means it literally can be used as a brick. It no longer can be used.
Brick means useless device.
Yes. So they actually destroyed their ability to have any infotainment in their e-vehicle. And how did this happen? So how this happens is they updated it over the air. Over the air update to thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands. Well, I'm not sure they have that many cars. Couple cars. And they all get bricked. You got to ask yourself, did you not update? Did these engineers not drive the cars, number one? Do they eat their own cat food? And if they're not driving the cars, why? Because if you had updated your car first and noticed you couldn't listen to the radio, you wouldn't have released it to the masses. What kind of testing is happening on these updates? I mean, we can use Microsoft as an example, because they recently did an update which screwed up all sorts of servers on that were running VMware.
Right.
A massive issue in October. And, you know, companies are moseying along using Microsoft servers, and the update causes issues. Now, it didn't brick the servers, thank goodness, but it causes problems.
Right.
And in this case, no radio for you, no podcast for you, no sound for you, no nothing for you if you're in a Riven vehicle that got the update over the air. Imagine if they did an update to fix a brake problem or an engine problem.
Or an autopilot.
Or a steering problem. Yeah. If they can't get the radio right,
what else are they going to mess up?
That's what I'm going with. You know, this shouldn't be a thing. You should be choosing your update or have some stronger method of, hey, maybe I don't want the infotainment update. You know, maybe I like the font that is there. And you change the font on me and you brick it. You know, this has got to stop.
Or better yet, roll out the updates. You trickle them out.
Right.
One day you roll it out to 5% of your car base. And then you wait a couple days and see what happens.
But this
and then you trickle out to another 5% and so on.
Do you think they need geeks like us to say that, though? The fact that we have to even are talking about it in the year 2020, almost 2024, it's an electric vehicle and they don't know how to deal with updates. I hope to gosh they're not doing it on the vehicle as you're driving and they do an update on the autopilot.
Didn't we hear from McPherson that's not how, well, at least in the case of Tesla, the car doesn't update while it's being driven.
Well, that's nice.
It only updates when it's off.
That's right. I do remember the car doctor calling in and giving us that info, but that was then. Now,
right. Who knows what's happening now?
Right. There's a lot of turnover in IT.
Company.
Lots of turnover in IT. The new guy could be like, let's just do it. What could go wrong? We're going to go back to Joe. He's back. See if he can get that call in Windsor. What's going on, Joe?
Yes. I bought a new camera, and I tried to attach an email picture to it, and I found out that it 33 megabytes per picture.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
And it won't attach. I'm kind of dead in the water.
You are. There is no way to do that with most email systems.
No, what you would want to do is to copy those pictures to something like Dropbox and then email a link to the photo to whoever you want to see it. And what they would do is get the link in their email, which is just a little string of text.
Right.
And then they would be able to download that photo.
Yeah. So there's no other way to do that. Dropbox now, is that a Google function or?
No.
It's its own company as far as I know.
Oh, okay. And so you would have to subscribe to Dropbox?
You can set up a free account, I would think, at some level before they start charging.
Yeah, there is a small amount of space that they give you for free. I don't know how much it is, maybe 1 or 2 gigs or something like that.
Yeah.
But even 33 megabytes per picture, you should be able to save, you know, a few dozen of them and then be able to get them out to people that way.
And then you could erase that out of there and put in some more later?
Yeah. And, that's, I would definitely advise you to manage it because you don't want to just leave these things out there forever.
Yeah.
You want to put them out as long as needed to get them to somebody and then get rid of it.
The other thing, Joe, is why do you need to send a 33 meg version of the file? It sounds like it's a raw image. Do you have to send the full image like that, or can you send a smaller, maybe 2 meg image if you do it in a JPEG or a different format?
Okay, I think I have that choice. I just thought that by, you know, putting all the bits of information in there, you get a better picture, but I don't know what JPEG would do to the quality of the picture.
You wouldn't notice it. Most, unless you're
in a lot of cases,
yeah,
you wouldn't.
Unless you're putting it up on some big, you know, huge sign or something like that. You know, you don't need all that data.
No. So what would you estimate a JPEG?
That might knock it down to 5 megs or even 2 megs. It all depends on how big you made it, but a couple meg file.
All right. So I should change the camera setting to JPEG and.
Yeah.
Take all the future pictures that way.
Well, that's a way to do it. I mean, Carmen has been our guy forever, and John Ryan. You know, if you're a guy that can actually take all that data in that raw image and do something with it, then you're going to want to do it in raw. But it doesn't sound like you are. It just sounds like you defaulted it. So I would tell you to change it to JPEG, and you'll be a happy guy.
Yeah, I'm just an amateur.
All right.
The other question, if you have time for another question.
Yeah, sure.
I have AVG for security. And I've been getting for some time now a message on there saying that people can see what you do and they want to sell me something to provide additional security. How can they really see what I'm doing? How do they get through my router? Because the router is about a 12 or 15 digit number.
I'm watching you right now, Joe. No, I'm just kidding. So what they're probably trying to sell you is what's called a VPN. Right, so most likely that's what they're trying to sell you.
You're probably right.
Yep. Now, AVG is out of the Czech Republic. I wouldn't go to them for my security, number one. So I would tell you to maybe remove AVG altogether and just use the built-in Windows Defender. That would be my choice. And what they're saying is people can see. When they say people can see, when you surf the internet without a VPN, your internet provider, your browser, all the folks involved, they can see where you've been. Right. When you do it with a VPN, as long as the VPN is not leaking local DNS, then the your usage is encrypted and quote unquote, people can't see what you're doing. Not that you're doing anything wrong, Joe.
Right.
But the point is, if you're going to your financial websites or you're going to banking websites, adding a VPN is an additional layer of security that can be helpful. And if you don't want people to market to you as to where you're going, it can be helpful. But if you actually are logged into the Google browser with your Joe interface and you're on a VPN, guess who knows where you're going?
Yeah.
Google.
Yeah, because they're inside.
Right. They're inside the VPN with you.
Because you invited them and you logged them in and everything.
Yeah. So it's hard to completely obfuscate what you're doing on your computer.
Yeah.
So they're just trying to sell you that feature. And a VPN is a good idea these days, but I don't know that I would get it from the Czech Republic. Nothing wrong with the Czech Republic. It's a fine place, I'm sure.
Right. Well, they are members of NATO.
Yep, I'm sure they are. It's just I don't like to go. I would rather get my security more local. That's just me.
So if I were on the internet, if they can see what I'm doing, you know, like is I'm not doing anything wrong. So
right.
Other than, like you say, financial passwords or, you know, that type of thing.
Right.
That's you don't want that out there. So you have to get a VPN.
Correct. Have you read the book 1984? I mean, that's kind of what I'm getting at, right? You're not doing anything wrong until you are doing something wrong, and it all depends on whose thoughts you can or cannot have.
Yeah.
So
no, it's just security for numbers, you know, for bank accounts, you know, that type of thing.
I understand.
And I don't do that much, so.
Nope.
Okay. All right.
All right, Joe.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome, sir.
Have a good day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye.
You know, not that we're doing anything wrong now, but again, who? I don't know. It's getting crazy out there. I did read there was going to be some change by the FCC having to do with internet recently. I didn't read into it further. Like the we talked about net neutrality possibly coming back. I think they did some voting that is going to be messing with net neutrality, which I don't think is a good idea, guys. Well, but I'm not the guy voting. What do you got, Kevin? Another break and then come back? We're going to step out for a quick break. Get back to your calls. Ken, John, and Chuck will be right back.
Thank God for this Thanksgiving Day.
We are back. Kevin's been picking the tunes here for Thanksgiving, so I didn't know there was that many Thanksgiving songs.
Yeah.
He managed to find them.
It's cool.
So we're going to be here till 11 o'clock, and then Dr. Alessi will be in with Healthy Rounds, so stick around for that. And you guys filled up all the phones, keeping us busy today, so we appreciate that. We're going to go to, who's next here? Who's on the longest? We're going to John, the longest. He's didn't give us a town, so he's somewhere in the United States. Oops. Hang on a minute. I got to pick out the right thing here. I'm a ding-a-ling. Let's go to John, as I mentioned. There you go, John.
Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
I have four email addresses, one for work, one is my regular Gmail address, one is for a group I belong to, a fourth one for a group I belong to we use for an election to elect officers.
Okay.
So it's defunct. It's no longer necessary.
All right.
I thought I followed the instructions properly to delete that one address, and I deleted all four of my addresses. It took me about an hour to restore everything. So, a little gun shy about trying to get rid of the one that is, you know, I have no use for anymore. So I was wondering how I would do that.
What account?
It's a Gmail account.
It's a Gmail account. So what's your mail client that you're using to delete the account from? Is it the Gmail tool you're using? Do you get your mail
using? Yes.
Okay. I mean, that shouldn't be a big deal as far as deleting the account from within Gmail's, because you can add accounts. You can add Outlook accounts, Gmail accounts, any kind of accounts within that Gmail app.
Yeah.
So deleting it should just be a matter of choosing it and removing it.
I also wonder if he just wants to shut down the account entirely.
On the Google side.
Yeah. Get rid of the account. Completely.
You can do that. So log into it through a web browser, maybe, and then
right, and then you would tell Google, "Hey, I'm not using this account no more. Get rid of it."
You could do it that way. It'll still be in your
your client, but at least it's shut off.
Right.
And the worst thing that'll happen in the email client is you're going to get an error. It's going to tell you, "Oh, I can't reach this account."
Right. And you're like, "Yeah, because I don't have it anymore." And the good thing about mail is if you did what you did, as you found, it'll resync.
Mm-hmm.
So you didn't really lose anything by your mistake.
Just lost some time.
No, but I had anxiety for the hour.
That too.
Yeah. We understand that
anxiety. Oh, we know that anxiety. We know it very well.
Yes. That's
all right.
That's a good thing.
I'll go back and try that. Thank you.
You got it. Yeah, just go ahead and delete it. You'll be fine. Just bad luck there. But that anxiety is something every IT person lives.
Oh.
Even if they told you, go ahead and delete it. I don't need it. And you're like, you know what?
Yeah,
you're full of baloney.
Yeah.
You're going to call me in 3 months. We actually had one of our clients ask for an email that they wrote 21 years ago.
Yes.
Yeah.
I got that one.
You did, huh?
I got that one.
I saw that come through yesterday.
Oh, yeah. I got that one.
Were you able to find a 21-year-old email?
No.
No. And that's part of the problem.
No, but I did go back 14 years.
Right. And then people, you know, go ahead and delete my account. Really? I don't believe you. You want me to delete that? All right, let's go on to who's been on the longest. Let's go to Ken in Marlboro next. What's going on, Ken?
Hi there. I noticed when you mentioned about the radio issue.
Yeah.
But before I mention that, you mentioned the book 1984. I think that should be mandatory reading in all high schools.
I know.
Especially now.
I know.
But regarding the radio, I have a 2017 Subaru, bought it 3 years ago. Never had an issue with the radio until the other day. All of a sudden, it just sound totally went away. And I even put a CD in. That wouldn't play sound either.
Uh-oh.
Look it up in the manual. It says that it goes through a reset and it totally shuts off the sound while it's doing that. And then finally, I saw a scroll bar on the screen, the scrolling across with the reset, you know, the scroll bar.
Right.
But it's the first time it's ever done that in 3 years I've had the car. And I'm not sure if it's something that set it off or whether I don't know.
Well, sometimes resets, I mean, my wife's got a Honda Odyssey and every now and again it does that too. That's a 2018, I think, Honda. I don't know how old it is. I think it's 2018. So, yeah, I mean, that's basically the system itself resetting, because most of these cars won't give you any kind of updates unless you pay for them, thankfully. So yeah. I'm not paying Honda to get my update. It works. I don't care. Don't mess with it. Same in your case. But I have seen that reset issue on the Odyssey, so I suspect it's similar with yours.
Now, one other question I want to ask you regarding Facebook.
Yeah.
I have two Facebook accounts.
Mm-hmm.
And I have one that I use predominantly, and the other one is also there. I think I have it listed as I'm a friend of myself.
Yeah.
Can I just get rid of that second Facebook? How do I get rid of the darn thing? I've tried going in there to delete. I can't seem to kill it.
That should be pretty straightforward, even within Facebook. We can look up the instructions as to how to remove it.
Yeah, we can get some instructions out there for you to do that.
Yeah, it shouldn't be too big of a deal. And a lot of times, I thought when you said you have another Facebook account, a lot of people are getting their accounts counterfeit by other people. They're downloading their pictures, they're creating an account on your behalf, and then reaching out to your friends and then saying they need something.
This is my case. I created one, and then I was doing a second one, kind of still personal, but it was more work-related, and I ended up with these two.
Yeah. No, I understand. Yeah, we'll put the link up there as far as how to do it. It shouldn't be that difficult to delete the account.
No, it's not. It's just a few steps on their website.
Okay, appreciate that.
Yep. You got it, Kim.
Thanks.
You got it. All right, good luck with your Subaru. These systems, they just update. I mean, I've seen it with, I think it's always the wrong time, right? You try to start your car and the thing is doing an update or some sort of reset. But I see it on her vehicle every now and again. I don't know why or what happens to it. Let's go with Chuck. Chuck, I got about a minute. Let's see if we can get you on.
Yeah, you see the question?
Something about a VPN.
Yes. The question is, what's the difference, since I've installed OpenDNS, between that and NordVPN? They're both VPNs, aren't they?
Nope. OpenDNS. So think of OpenDNS as the highway, right? And OpenDNS is the HOV lane of the highway. It's a safe lane. You can't get on certain exits that are bad. So think of OpenDNS as just a nice safe lane all to yourself, with the least malicious access to internet sites. And think of a VPN as going through a tunnel on that highway.
Doesn't OpenDNS bring me to Cisco?
OpenDNS is the Cisco DNS that you're using, which means when you go www.computertalkwithtad.com, you're getting the DNS from Cisco. Yes, that's okay. But
so
that,
I'm tunneling to Cisco.
Well, you're not tunneling in OpenDNS.
No, the traffic that you're sending to and from things is not getting tunneled through Cisco.
It's not encrypted.
All that's happening is Cisco is your computer's phone book.
Right.
Let's say you want to go to yahoo.com. You're going to go to Cisco, find out where that is, and then your computer will go to yahoo.com
right,
independently of Cisco.
Right. And then a VPN is going to encrypt that you went to yahoo.com.
Right. And it will send all of that traffic through one gateway that belongs to the VPN company.
Right. Through that tunnel.
And that would be the tunnel that you're going through.
So does one need both?
If you want to be more secure, the answer is generally yes.
Yeah.
Nowadays. And I would tell you to look at Proton VPN, because if you look up NordVPN, they've had some issues.
They've had breaches.
Not that Proton won't either, but for now they haven't. All right, Chuck?
All right. Thanks, guys.
You got it, sir. It's a good question. I mean, it gets confusing. Security is a layered thing. I want to thank Kevin for producing. I want to thank Mike for posting everything live.
And remember, we want you to be geeks, too.
See you next Saturday with Special Agent from the FBI, Connor Phoenix.
Woo!
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Signature Farms chicken, split breasts, drumsticks, or thighs. Buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Or a wheat variety bread, 24-ounce selected varieties. Buy one, get one for free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. And Progresso soup, 18 to 19-ounce selected varieties. Buy two, get three free of equal or lesser value when you buy five. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.